Hello, I'm Major Adrian Allman.
And I'm Captain Claire Allman.
Welcome to the Birmingham Citadel Salvation Army podcast series. Birmingham Citadel is a Christian church located in Birmingham city centre, here in the UK. Each episode is a live recording of the Bible message shared during the Sunday worship service.
It's good to have you share with us, and as you listen now, we pray that God will speak to you. May you know God's abundant blessing today.
Today on our Harvest Sunday, we are thinking about God's generosity and our response to it. I want you to think for a moment of your journey into the hall this morning. I don't know what your journey's like. Ours is not the most pleasant, to be quite frank. We drive under M6 motorway. We drive along littered roads, past graffiti hoardings, through estates with high-rise blocks of flats, along ugly road networks, through industrial building sites, and then past all these factories, finally into Little Shadwell Street. It's not quite, as John Rutter would say, for the beauty of the earth. It's important today on our Harvest Thanksgiving Sunday that we remind ourselves of the extravagance of the Creator God. And so just for a moment, I want you to think of everything that's beautiful, not the journey you've had, not urban Birmingham, but all the other places around this world of ours that God has created that are truly beautiful. And this morning I want us to consider God's generosity in four ways. And it seems only natural for us to start with this amazing world that God has provided for us as our habitat. Because in our man-made cities, it's easy to forget the immense beauty and the wonder of creation. So the first point I want you to remember today is that God's generosity is shown in this amazing world that He's given us for us to enjoy. Our generous God has perfectly crafted a world which can sustain our human lives. And having put creation into being, our world not only provides everything that we need, but also it presents challenges for us, as we've seen a little bit this week with flooding as it unleashes nature in all its force. God hasn't just created this world to sustain us. He's actually beyond our human survival. He's considered our pleasure. He created this human habitat, and now He invites us to enjoy it. God's created this perfect world with elegance and complexity, and He's given us sense of sight, sounds, touch, taste, so that we can experience the richness of this gift. And so the creator of the world, the provider of our needs, is also the source of our never-ending pleasure. I hope this morning you've experienced pleasure. It's possible, you know, to enjoy the gifts of creation, even in Birmingham. God has put places all around us that reveal His magnificent hand. You know, if somebody gives you a gift, what's the first thing you do? I've tried to encourage my girls to respond whenever somebody gives them a gift with a simple phrase, "Thank you." And I'd like to think that whenever we're given gifts, the first thing that we do is thank the giver. In his book, Enjoying God, Tim Chester says this: "Giving thanks is a powerful act. We all too easily focus on what we lack and feel discontented, but gratitude redirects our thoughts away from the trifles that we lack and towards the amazing blessings that are already ours. Even more significantly, gratitude lifts our eyes from the gift to see the giver." Harvest is all about seeing the giver. Seeing this wonderful world that He has given us to enjoy. And you know, expressing gratitude brings us closer to God. And every day God's generosity is shown in this amazing world that He's provided for us to enjoy. And so by expressing our gratitude for it, by giving our thanks for the riches, we come close to the Creator. What does that old harvest song say? Come, ye thankful people, come. See the giver in the wonderful gift. Secondly, you know that in the amazing story of creation that we find in Genesis, amidst the wonders of making the seas and the earth, creating animals, flinging stars into space, and finally creating humankind, there are two verses that speak volumes to me. And they're found in Genesis chapter 1. The first one is this one. Let us make mankind in our image, in our own likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground. And then the writer of Genesis goes on a few verses later in chapter 1 to verse 29 to say this. I give you every seed-bearing plant on the face of the whole earth, and every tree that has fruit with seed in it. This will be yours for food. You know, God has made this magnificent earth, and what's he done? He said, I'm giving you dominion over it. I'm giving you. I find that amazing. I find that amazing. On occasions when I've got the telly on and it's one of those Alan Titchmarsh programs, you know where he surprises people? They've maybe been rough on the luck or they've had a bad experience. And he actually surprises them by turning up at the doorstep, going into the back garden that looks like a horrendous thing. And he says, right, I'm going to send you away. And I'm going to do something with your garden. And over the space of 3 days, he converts this plot of wasteland into a scene from Kew Gardens. And they come back and, wow, this sight on their face. What does he do? He creates this thing and then he gives it to the family to look after. Do you know what? I'm not sure what I would do in that circumstance. I think my first reaction would be, wow, what a garden. But tell you what, can you take it all away and just turf it? Because all I'm capable of is mowing the lawn. He hands it over to them to look after. I'd love to go back 2 years on to see how well they're looking after these elaborate water features and all these foreign plants that nobody's ever heard of. You see, God has not only perfectly crafted this world which can sustain our human lives, his generosity goes beyond that because in essence what he says is, I've made it, but I'm giving it to you. I'm giving it to you. You're to look after it. Wow. Now that's generosity. To give something that you've made to someone else for them to look after. When I spoke a few minutes ago about God providing everything for us, I'm sure some of you might take issue with that because you know as well as I do there are places around the world where that's not true. There are places around the world where people don't have everything they need. They're not sustained. They're going hungry, they're starving through malnutrition. They're without homes, they struggle to exist. So how is God providing for them, you may say? And how does that tie with this dominion? In 2005, at the Make Poverty History Rally in London, Mandela said these words, like slavery and apartheid, poverty is not natural. It is man-made and it can be overcome and eradicated by the action of human beings. You know, we have everything we need to make sure there's nobody in this world poor. If only we would learn to distribute it properly. The wealthiest 1% of the world own 48% of its riches. How is that right? You see, God in his generosity has given us this world to look after. And what he's saying is, I want you to take responsibility. You know, we're always quite happy to take the blessings, but we're not always that happy to take the responsibility. Listen, if God has been generous enough to entrust his creation to us, then we need to act well. All of us, in everything we do. Act well. I love the Singing Company song this morning because it reminded me of God's ultimate generosity to all of us. God's created this world in which we live. He's given us responsibility to look after it. But we've not proven ourselves to be great at taking responsibility, have we? All too often we've not lived as God intended us to. And our acts of defiance throughout time have not pleased God. They've spoiled the relationship that we've got with the Creator. And we were powerless. We are powerless to do anything about that. And yet out of his limitless generosity, God has stepped in. God stepped in to restore the relationship, to do as the Singing Company talk about, forgive us. And so in Jesus, God entered our world. He showed the full extent of his love for us. And then he made an atonement for us. He put things right by dying on the cross. And he took upon himself our sins and generously forgave us. And so God's generosity, thirdly, is shown in his forgiveness that he offers to all. We've had some rather interesting insights into the lives of judges in recent days, haven't we? One in particular has attracted our attention a little bit more than anybody else. And I'm thinking of the chairperson of the Supreme Court, Lady Hale. Until last week, she was relatively... Anybody heard of her? Till last week? No, of course you hadn't. But actually, she's quite a qualified, highly intellectual lady. She graduated in her class in Cambridge, top of the class, absolutely leaving the men in that class way behind. She's pioneered legal change. She wants to get rid of wigs in court. She says it's silly. That's why they don't wear them in the Supreme Court. She's quite a trailblazer. And yet, what will we remember her for? Brooches. Here she is. Brooches. She turns up at court with this huge spider on her shoulder, and we'll remember her forever and a day. She's turned up in court with caterpillars. She's turned up in court with butterflies. She likes these brooches. Then you've got every newspaper trying to work out what she's trying to say to everybody through these brooches. Perhaps she just likes spiders, you know? Brooches. I don't envy judges. They do their work. They preside over cases. And then they go home at the end of each day. They forget about the cases they've dealt with. They have to. They can't involve themselves personally in cases. It's not possible. Imagine if God's way of dealing with humanity was exactly the same. Yes, God's forgiven us. That's what I've just said. But if that was all, what then? You see, God goes beyond this and he shows the depth of his generosity by choosing to make us family, choosing to adopt us despite our failings. He's not a God who just casts judgment and forgets. No. He makes us family. And as I come to the end of my thought this morning, this fourth idea, I want you to just listen as I read this quote from the great theologian J.I. Packer, a Gloucester boy. J.I. Packer, in one of his classics called Knowing God, wrote this, and to me it just sums it up. Adoption is the highest privilege that the gospel offers, higher even than justification. We all stand by nature under God's judgment. His law condemns us. His guilt gnaws at us, making us restless, miserable, and in our loosest moments afraid. We have no peace in ourselves because we have no peace with the Maker. He carries on, so we need the forgiveness of our sins, which is what I've just talked about, an assurance of a restored relationship with God, more than we need anything else in the world. And this the gospel offers us before it offers anything else. But contrast this, and here's the point, now with adoption. Adoption's a family idea, conceived in terms of love and viewing God as Father. Here's the slide I want you to take home for yourselves today. In adoption, God takes us into his family and fellowship. He establishes us as children and heirs. Closeness, affection, and generosity are at the heart of the relationship. And I love this sentence. To be right with God, the judge, is a great thing. But to be loved and cared for by God the Father is greater. If he stopped at just God the judge, what then? He doesn't. He moves on to God the Father and adopts us in every full way. It's like Lady Hoyle taking every single person she's ever tried or sat in front of home for tea, giving them a home in her mansion, looking after them every day. You know, many people see God as gracious because that's what he's supposed to be. They see him as forgiving. But they don't always see beyond that act of forgiveness. In his generosity, God offers forgiveness. And when that's received and matched by a desire to change, then he wants more than just wiping the slate clean. He wants to restore the intimate relationship that was intended from the very beginning. I've met many Christians who acknowledge their forgiveness of God in their lives and they serve him well. But that's where it stops. That's where it stops. And God wants more than this. He wants an intimate, loving relationship. And so this morning I've looked at four elements of God's generosity. Four elements that will fly upon the screen. God shows his generosity to us by giving us this amazing world. He shows his generosity to us by actually saying, I've made it, you look after it. He shows his generosity to us by making forgiveness available to each and every one of us, graciously given. But more than that, he shows his generosity because he doesn't want it to just end there. He wants this intimate, beautiful, restored relationship, and he adopts us as sons and daughters. And we have intimacy through adoption. The question for us this morning was on our harvest envelope: how will you respond to God's generosity? Are you a person of gratitude this morning? Grateful to the giver for the blessings which are yours. God in his generosity has given us responsibility. Are you acting well and taking responsibility for your actions? Perhaps today you're yearning to experience our generous God's forgiveness, to restore a relationship with him that's not right at the present time. Or perhaps you know what it is to be forgiven. Perhaps you're serving God well, but the intimacy with God the Father is lacking. How will you respond this day to God's generosity? I know our time is gone. I know it's 10 to 12. I know the coffee's on. But actually, more than the coffee and the biscuits that are coming at the back of the meeting, that's our generosity to you. What about God's generosity to you? How are you going to respond to that this day? Very quietly, I'm just going to ask you to close your eyes. I'm going to ask you to just think of that simple question of God's generosity to you. And as you do this day, perhaps you'd like to say your own little prayer on this day of thanksgiving. And may you respond to God's generosity just now. Father God, in these quiet moments, as we consider our generous God, We thank you for the amazing world you've given us. And we don't take for granted the responsibility you've given us in this world to look after it and to act well. We've not been very good at that, if we're honest. And so today again we come asking and seeking your forgiveness. But in seeking your forgiveness, we find much more, because we find intimacy. We find the intimacy of God the Father reaching out to us all. And so this day, Lord, be generous to us. And may we respond to that generosity as you would have us do. Amen.
Thank you for listening to our podcast this week.
So you don't miss any further recordings, please subscribe to this podcast and also share and review it to help other people find and join our Birmingham Citadel online congregation.
This has been a production for Birmingham Citadel Salvation Army in the United Kingdom. If you'd like to know more about us or want to worship with us, then visit our webpage at birminghamcitadel.co.uk.